so we don't need change.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday Refreshments. I'll pray us in, and then we'll get into Sunday school. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you touch me to touch each and every one in here, dear God. I ask that you, through me, get to them and help them understand what's coming through, dear God. Dear God, I ask that you bless those that are on the way and those that are here, dear God, and give safe travels to everyone as we go through this lesson, dear God. And dear God, I ask that you just come through me and bless each and every one of us to get through this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today I'll be talking about, I sit there and something about fear. Fear. So I was thinking about it. I said, you know what? Placing people to seem bigger than God. I mean, when we sit there and our expectations on pleasing man instead of pleasing God, I mean, it comes evident that that's where fear comes from. We're so into trying to please them than pleasing him. So my introduction would be, well, let me ask you this. Have your parents or anyone else said to you, if you learn this one thing, your life will be much better? Well, here it is. If you learn this one thing, your life would be much better. God is bigger than people. Yeah. So I'm going to read you a couple of verses here. I got Proverbs 29 and 25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Those of you who don't know what a snare is a small wooden trap to get birds. Only this trap we set ourselves. We'll prove to be, that means the fear produces the trap. You know what that means? Your fear produces the trap. You built your own trap. You set the snare, and your own fear causes you to run right into it. So when it boils down to it all, our problems revolve around this one idea. We fear people way too much. We don't fear God enough. In fact, we say God is bigger than people. You may intellectually agree with that statement. Living out is an entirely different animal. He is indefinitely bigger than people. So I want to look at the biblical context of fear. Fear of God signifies a deep respect, reverence, and awe for God's power and authority, leading to obedience and a life pleasing to him, rather than a mere fear of punishment. Spiritual interpretation of fear often view it as a natural human emotion, but also a potential obstacle to spiritual growth and connection with the divine, emphasizing the importance of trust and faith over anxiety. So it boils down to, he is bigger and greater than people you're dealt in school with as those that are bullies. I mean, he's bigger than that. He's bigger than your boss tells you what. I mean, he tells you and give you problems. He's bigger than the electric company, the gas company, all of those. I mean, you're the rent man. I mean, he's bigger than everyone. So he is bigger than the one that knows more about the threat you got recently. He is bigger and greater than all of your quirks, efficiencies, worry about when you woke up this morning and look in the mirror. He is bigger and greater than the mistakes you made yesterday and has greater forgiveness right now. God is bigger than people. So I'm going to go into what is fear. I mean, let's get an understanding on what fear is here. It may be an explosive dread, trembling fear that can become a panic, leading you to paralysis, which we call a panic attack. A person with this kind of fear is described as quaking, anxiety, shudder, startled. It may be a slow simmering uneasiness causing anxiety. Either extreme, a fear of man is to be dealt with properly. Now that we realize that the fear is something we produce, let's look at it a little bit more closely. It comes from the heart that has unreasonable fears. Right. Proverbs 22:13, a lazy person develops this kind of fear. It's called please forgive me because I showed this word. I've been fighting with this word for the last week. agoraphobia, literally afraid of the marketplace. It comes from a heart that wants to please man more than God. The heart fears rejection. Doesn't it seem to us most of the rewards we seek to get in this life come from men? I mean, there's a time and place, so I probably even please my parents more than I please myself. I mean, try to please them more than I would please him, you know? I mean, that's, I would go here, even our spouses. Sometimes we look at our spouses and we try to please them more than we please God. Your boo bae, everybody else, you know, they all do that. I mean, we all look at the pleasing man. I don't know if it's because we sit there and it's right there in front of us and we don't go off of faith and knowing that, you know, he's bigger than that. I don't know that, but they right there. So I guess that's the problem. That's probably why we do it. They're right in front of us. Yeah, so. But it comes from a heart that wasn't prepared for an unusual scary event. It comes from a heart that fears the rejection of others or other people controlling your life. Ooh, that's a good one. Other people controlling your life. I mean, I wake up every morning and go into work. I mean, I wonder sometimes if, okay, I got to do what I got to do, but I mean, it's a little bit controlling. I mean, sometimes they take it overboard, though. I mean, they use that power today, you know. They use that power a little bit more than they're supposed to, but yeah. Do they prevent you from speaking the truth? Or do they keep you from doing the right thing? And a lot of times we find ourselves in a place. I mean, I was just in a situation here a couple of weeks ago. Me and my coworker, we were sitting there, we was working. We had a delivery truck come up. So go out there to get the part. Me and the delivery driver actually carried one of the parts in. And the door wasn't all the way up. This guy decides to, my coworker decides he wanna jump on the stand-up forklift, which he has no license for. Go out the door to get the pallet that we had to bring inside. Well, he proceeds to go out the door as me and the truck driver dropping one of the items inside the building, we come walking toward out. All of a sudden, we hear a loud crash. The door wasn't all the way up. He hits the door and proceeds to say he didn't hit it. He claimed he did not hit it. I mean, stuff falling from the door and everything, but he didn't hit it. So he kept on doing what he was doing or whatnot. I go to pick up the debris and everything that fell from the door. And he denied it all the way up until he just kept denying it. And I told him, I said, after he hit it and he stopped, I said, you need to get off of that forklift and go report that. But he proceeds to sit there and continue to want to work. By this time, another supervisor was coming out the bathroom and he was right there. I watched this supervisor come in the building. He walked all the way around us, walked all the way up to tell our supervisor what had just happened. So he claimed this whole time. So we steadily trying to, between me, the supervisor, and the safety officer, we all trying to tell him, no, you need to go ahead and say something. Tell him the truth. And he looked for me to cover up for him. I'm, no, you ain't jeopardizing my job. I ain't covering up for nothing. So he proceeded to continue to, so they pulled him in, and they pulled us in meetings and everything, asking questions, and they went back and watched the video. So they called me in the office last Friday. Not this past Friday, but the Friday before, and asked me what happened. I said, "Well, he hit that door. I mean, it's evident. Did I actually see it? No, but I heard it, and I seen stuff falling. It's evident he hit the door." So they said, like, "All right." So they got, he wasn't there Friday. Come Monday, they come over. Need you to gather all your things and report over here to building, the other building or whatnot. He didn't know what was going on. He kept asking questions. We don't know. They just told us to get you and report over here. He proceeds to call me about 30 minutes later, tell me they just let him go. So, yeah, so it goes to say, no, I'm not covering for none, because it could have been both of us walking up out of there. You know, I mean, it could have been parading all of us. So then I had the guy over the union, one of the union reps, he come to me Friday. He said, "What is wrong with this guy? Why didn't he just admit it?" He said, "It's evident." I looked at the video. I said, "I can't help you." I can't. He tried to get them to get his job back. He said, I can't do nothing with that." He said, "It's evident." So, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Even though he wasn't licensed on that piece of equipment, if he would have just told the truth, he would have saved his job. I mean, he would have got a slap on the hand or whatever, but he refused to do it. He refused. So, now I'm working by myself, so now I'm in a whole thing. I'm in a whole middle place by myself now. So, right. So how do we deal with this fear? Well, the world's solution for dealing with fear, psychologists, educators, and people who study people who have great minds, they are able to look at a problem and identify it and give it a name that we can connect with. The writer of this proverb calls it fear of man. The world calls it by many descriptive names. The problem is the world offers the wrong solution. You need more self-esteem. Stop bullying. Stand up for yourself. Surround yourself with people stronger than yourself. Although these are not bad solutions, they just don't go far enough. They don't place God nowhere in the equation. So how do you expect to get anywhere if you don't have him nowhere in the equation? I mean, if he's nowhere in there, how do you expect to even get any further? Now, God's solution for dealing with fear, the writer of this proverb highlights the solution to dealing with fear. He names the Lord. The Lord is repeated a second line of each of these verses. He is capitalized L-O-R-D. Our God, who keeps his promises because he is so great and so infinitely bigger than anyone or anything else, he is called our covenant-keeping God. He is to be trusted. He is trustworthy because of his remarkable salvation. Now, if we spoke the Hebrew language and you wanted to say that you were safe as strongly as you could, then this is the word, safe. As simple as that, safe. Is an intensive form of the verb. It means to be set on high, placed in an inaccessible tower. When the fear of man strikes, trust God, because he will place you into a place that is far out of reach of man, making this a reality in your life. So the conclusion in this, when people seem bigger than God and try to solve this out of fear, trust in God and God alone. God is bigger than man. This proverb was not written by Solomon. It was included in scripture by Hezekiah and a group of wise men. Why? Because it is so powerful and true. Adults struggle with this. Why? Because of their teen years. They have always believed that man is bigger than God. For this reason, God's word sets it straight. So I'm going to have, anybody have any ideas or any comments on why we would, what we would, what's good examples of, I would say, replacing or going into believing, having faith in man more than God, or fearing man more than God? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you all the rest of that story.
Amen. Amen.
Before all that happened, before all that went down, yours truly got a little cocky. On the stand up, going through, doing some things, and thinking I just had it or whatnot. So I had an accident a while back. On the stand-up forklift, and I just knew I had it, but I underestimated the height, where the lights came out on the side. I went through this little slight spot, and I came and I hit the side of this wall, so I ended up telling them, that's what happened, but it went from, they gave me a little suspension off the forklift, and it was fine, but right before he did that, I had another incident. I underestimated. I picked up a crate. You're talking about a crate with probably like $60,000 worth of. I mean, this was expensive crate, and I picked it up, to avoid, I caught myself trying to avoid from hitting this fence and this other thing that was in the spot of it. So I picked it up, lifted it up over it, backed up. I just knew I was clear too. Next thing you know, flipped off. So that was another one. But it goes to show, I mean, I told both times and I'm still working. I mean, so I'm still there. So I mean, it goes to show. I mean, you would think after you've seen somebody do it twice and you do that one time, you would think you would, hey, I'm going to go say something. But I mean, he was reluctant. He was not going to say anything. But yeah, but it's something when you said, when you was talking about faith and how we, you know, thing about it is, one thing I understand, and it took me a long time to understand, is we don't always get what we want. That faith can come in a way that you can be saved from getting what you want. You know what I mean? I mean, that, and you might not realize it at that time, but I'm going to tell you, I done been in the place where I was like, man, I'm glad it didn't happen. I'm glad I didn't, you know, receive that. So, I mean, that's something. But and then I thought about when I was talking about fear, and I would like for you all to help me out on this one, because this just got me. When Jesus was up on the cross, and when he was going through what he was going through, do we believe, I mean, did he have some kind of fear? I mean, he had to have fear, didn't he?
No, he did, because when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Oh, yeah.
He prayed and said, Father, be your will, let this cup pass from me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
He said, but nevertheless, not
my will,
not what I want.
Right.
He made
the
choice to go through
what
he felt.
Right.
He could have saw the legion of angels down there taking him up.
Yeah. Right, okay, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I was ready to say, because this, I mean, that's, it's so easy. I mean, being down. I mean, just being on earth is so easy.
I was asking the first lady, because, you know, he predicted, he told his disciples about, you know, I'm going to be the, he predicted the death, and there's a Paul who said, saying he did time. I was asking the first lady, because it's a blessing to experience knowing, going into life, okay, I know, eventually I'm going to die on the cross.
And I said, that's what prompted him to say,
right. It's going to happen, right.
But it was up to him, like it wasn't, he was 100% human.
Mm-hmm.
He still had that debate going on in his mind, because he's human.
Right,
like
yeah.
We have debates in our mind. Should I do it? Should I not? God, I know if I do it. But it's still like Pastor said, it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's your choice. But he made the choice to say, okay, put my big pants on and let's ride. Let me, you know what I'm saying? Let me do this. But even when he was telling his father that, God, he was saying, God, be with me. Because what happened when he was on the cross? He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? God, I don't believe God. He just took his eyes off of him. The beating was so horrific. But yet still, he said, you know what? I'm built for this. I was made to do this. I was told of this. Because he equipped him with everything. Because when you go back into, oh man, it's awful. Because when you go back into Jeremiah, Bible says, he said, before I knew you, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I knew you. So therefore, with him knowing his son like he did, I had to ready him before he even left his presence.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it was like, he had to get that faith strong. He had to rise to the occasion to
Right, right, yeah.
Also Timothy.
Mm.
He says, I did not
give
you
spirit.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So that is a choice we've got.
Mm. Right, yeah. You know, that just bring me to, I remember being in minister's class and Bishop asked how many of us would, if the Lord said, come on, Jesus said, come on and die, would you die for him or whatnot? But then I thought about it. I said, man, we sit there and we look at our kids, we look at our parents and everything. We talking about we would die for them, but we have to think about dying for Jesus. I mean, I didn't think about it then, but when I was doing this and I was going on my lesson, it came to me. I was like, wow. So I'm gonna finish up. I got like 4 minutes left. All right, my last is just basically trust in the Lord and experience his protection and find life. Tomorrow morning, when you wake up and look in the mirror, tell yourself, today I believe that God is bigger than man and I will trust him. In God, I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? God will put me into a tower for out of reach of all men. And that pretty much basically sums up my lesson. Any comments, questions, concerns? If not, I'll go ahead and start close and we get ready for 11:30 service. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for coming to us and getting us through this. Dear God, I ask that you just watch over, cover, and bless each and every one of us. And I ask that you watch over, cover, and each and every one of those that are on the way. Give safe travels to them and get them here safely, dear God. Dear God, I ask that you just help put the things in us and put you in us to where fear is not an issue, to where we can face it head on, dear God. And dear God, I ask that you watch over, cover, to bless our pastor as he go forth with the word, dear God. And I ask that you just keep everyone healthy and in prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.